This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everyone? It is Wednesday, the August 28th, as we get so much closer to real deal football. Tomorrow, the Tulane Green Wave in action at Yulman Stadium, taking out Southeastern. Then the big one, Sunday in Vegas, man. And I would love to be going out for that matchup against USC. Obviously, the new stadium there, to check that out. It's almost like a Death Star, it looks like, decorated all black. Never got a chance to go and visit there. Yeah. Ooh. When I was a sideline reporter, and the Saints did do that, Zach Strief and Deuce McAllister were able to go out there, but they said it was an empty warehouse, and I was basically calling the game off a monitor in the studio because there weren't any sideline reporters allowed back in that COVID year, which is a real bummer. So I missed out on getting to soak in that stadium, but definitely interested to see how that shakes out and just all the amenities that they have there. Looks phenomenal.
Doug on All Things Legal is going out.
Okay.
He'll tell me all about. He's actually calling in like the show on Sunday. He's going to call like 2 hours behind or whatever.
For Mikey D?
No, for All Things Legal on Sunday. He'll call into the show late, and he'll tell us everything he's gotten up to in a, I guess the week after or whatever. We'll figure out how the time went. But I mean, come on, like that, and you know that stadium's in relatively good condition. They just hosted the Super Bowl. Like they're you're going to have a fun time if you're an LSU fan going out there.
What a heck of a destination. I look at, obviously, if there's a game in New Orleans, of course road teams want to come visit here. It's Party City. And you look at Las Vegas, obviously, its nickname, Sin City. So much to do, just about anything you want, any time of the day, too, which is awesome. And just a cool place to be. Like you said, that new venue, so anxious to check it out and see. You know, these modern-day stadiums, a ton of upgrades, though, done to the Caesars Superdome, has it looking quite beautified. And obviously the thing that people love about New Orleans as a city to check out games is just you're so able to walk around places. You don't have to take a car everywhere.
No, 100%. And more importantly, Steve, that Sunday game is the only game on that day. We are Sunday, the
first. Must-see viewing, right.
6 p.m., I think.
Every college football fan's in.
6:30. It is the only game that day. Like, that is... There's no NFL on. What are you going to watch? Like, you know, roster signings or whatever. The Saints are off. You don't even have practice that day. The LSU through and through.
I do appreciate it's a 6:30 kickoff and not like, you know, when the Pelicans are on the West Coast and we got a 9 o'clock tip and old man Steve is complaining about, why are these games so late here?
I mean, the Pelicans have a few of those this year, but...
Oh, sure.
That's something I know. The Saints have two of those this year. We didn't have any last year. We had not a single afternoon game, like, or afternoon being like 3 p.m. You know, nothing on the West Coast. We had like West Coast teams, but they'd come to town or we'd play them on like a Thursday night or something like that. But I think we play both the Chargers and Rams, I want to say, in SoFi for both. Yeah.
So the thing with the Saints with the later start. The hardest part for me, at least, is you got to do the post game show.
Yeah, till 1 a.m. or something.
Yeah, till 1 a.m. you're going. But the good thing is, usually after a Saints game, you're kind of riding off that adrenaline, so it keeps you going.
It carries you for a while. I you know what I did after the Saints game last weekend?
What'd you end up doing?
I did yard work.
No, I was going to say, did you go to a workout?
I went to the gym and then yard work.
Burning off those extra calories and making sure you get a good night's rest.
Yeah, I was doing yard work and I actually didn't go to the gym. I watched the game and then I did yard work and I just listened to you guys while I was doing, you know, mowing the lawn and everything.
Well, that's the awesome part, obviously, too. You're hanging out with the Cannon. He's going to make those last couple of hours after the game very entertaining.
God, yeah.
Along with the callers, too.
Especially with how, you know, exciting that last game was. With, you know, I like that we finally got a bit of a barn burner. The first two games were...
Snooze fest.
Oh my God! If there is ever a way to describe it, you know the phrase you hear often with with quarterbacks when they're developing. You hear the phrase like, "I want to see them go through their progressions."
Right.
Progressions. You want to see them go hit their one, their two, their three. Nobody's open. Then I'll scramble. You know, they go through their progressions. It felt like that was what the first two preseason games were like. It was kind of like there wasn't any freestyling. It was everyone, you know, played their part. Everyone, you know, if there was a script, everyone followed it, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of scripts, I feel like the NFL heard me the week before NFL week three of the preseason kicked off. Because I don't know if you remember, I was talking about take the under in these matchups. I'm going to do that next year for every single game.
Oh my God.
Take the under. And then week three, there were a bunch of overs.
Skyrocketed.
Exactly. It was all inflated. So like, now I'm changing my philosophy. The first 2 weeks of the preseason, I'll be taking all unders.
I mean, hey, I'm gonna do the whole like I'm that triple option thing about the teams in the preseason who go like 60 plus in differential and make the playoffs. I might bet on that.
Hey, you can't go against the trends if it is what it is. There, I'm just repeating. As Bobby said, these aren't. I'm not making this up. These are the facts.
Oh, you know what? Just hit me. Is that the Bears did that? They had an extra game.
Okay, but it's still an average. It's not a total of points.
It is, but they still had an extra game.
And that first game, you didn't have a lot of your starters. I know even Caleb Williams wasn't in action for the opener. It's like, this is the Hall of Fame
game.
You're not going to put the guy out. Exactly. There you go.
I just remembered. It was like in the third quarter, I think it got pulled. Like, it's not even a full game. Maybe I don't worry about it.
We're canceled for bad weather.
I don't know, man. It's just you want to see football as soon as possible, and then it shows up, and you're like, maybe this isn't what I want to see.
Right, you're like, oh, and everyone complains this isn't football. Yeah, we know the preseason doesn't count, but it's still a good taste and a measuring stick for teams. And for a lot of those true fans out there, you're kind of seeing the depth of this Saints roster, which you got a little bit of an idea of about now.
If there's nothing quality-wise, talent-wise that you were excited about on Sunday, one thing you can get excited about, because at the end of the day, the Saints do need to be trending in this direction, whether it's the wrong guys or the right guys. I think this needs to happen. The team is getting younger. The team is getting much younger. I think I remember vividly one of the first times I ever got in the air and talked to Bobby. It was because we were talking about how the Saints had like the oldest team in the league by a marker that was not even remotely close. Whereas I think at the same time, the Bucs had the youngest team in the league. And it's you want to see this team getting younger. We're making those changes now. You're seeing that. You're seeing, you know, you can keep Cam Jordan, you can keep Tyrann Mathieu, you can keep kind of those guys around, but at the same time, the teams that are doing well are teams that are much, much younger.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the problem for the Black and Gold and why they're not looked at as a higher-seeded team in the NFC South or even the whole division is just because they haven't had very good drafts of late, unfortunately.
No, and it's, again, if...
And it comes down to those first-round picks, man.
I see the first three, really. But if you're staring down the barrel of a nasty rebuild, possibly, and the words I always use, the way I always describe it to, like, my dad to make it seem, somewhat appealing and a good point of comparison is, like, you got to sit down and eat your vegetables. You have to. Sometimes you can whine and everything like that, but, broccoli sucks. You got to power through. And it's like, one of the things that you have to do with that is get a younger and cheaper, especially
right. You might not
nowadays.
Like it, but it's good for you in that respect.
You need to get a cheaper team. You have to get a cheaper team. At the end of the day, if we do end up 1-8, 1-9, and Rattler takes over,
Ooh,
by any stretch
I don't
of the means,
that.
I don't want to hear that either. But if it happens, one thing you can count on is the team is getting younger, hopefully, and the team is getting hopefully as well cheaper, at least for the time being, especially as we know that the offseason is a time where Mickey Loomis likes to play with the cap. And I love the way he does it, but every time April rolls around, it's like, all right, guys, let's see what money he stuffs under the couch. And it's like, ugh.
You mentioned hopefully there, like the team has their mantra for the season. Maybe at WWL, we should all get shirts that have hope on it.
So
that's our mantra for this Saints season.
I am hopeful. I really am. Everybody out in New Orleans is counting this team down, and I think it's just because they look at us and they saw what we did last year and they hear about what we
but
see.
But they closed
on
a high, for crying out loud.
If everyone's going to be down on the Eagles and how they finished last year and look at what they changes they made
they
this
got
offseason,
humiliated in the playoffs.
You have to look at the Saints the same way. You have to look at the way we finished like 4-1 in the last five games. I think our only loss was to like the Lions.
The Rams.
Rams. And we were even competitive. We weren't as competitive in that game, but we were still competitive. We had a...
And on a short week at Thursday Night Football.
We were doing well. We did good. Hope, yes. It's, again, we preface... I know that the talk of the town through, some negative Nancys in the fan base has been if this team gets off to a rough start, we could see a lot of new faces be given the reins. We could see new head coach. We could see new quarterback. You don't want to believe that. That could happen. But again, that second half stretch of the season, really after kind of the Chiefs game for the most part, I'd say like week 5 or 6 is kind of where things get a little lighter. You got the schedule in front of you?
Yeah.
After the Chiefs game, it's what?
You have the Buccaneers at home and the Broncos at home. Obviously, that's a huge one with Sean Payton back in town.
I know, but it's like
lose to the rookie quarterback.
You play these teams that are, you know, perennial back-to-back 5 years, 4 years.
And then you're at Chargers,
running.
Another team that's kind of in limbo right now, at Panthers after that.
Yeah, you play these teams that are like, you want to play teams as a team that is trying to get to the playoffs, not the Super Bowl, not the conference championship. Everybody wants to do that. You've heard the Saints constantly, you know, with Kay Adams and with, you know, DeMario Davis on Colin Cowherd. Or a Rich Eisen show or anything like that. You hear these, you know, like these people talking about how like Saints fans are delusional because they think they can win the Super Bowl. It's like every team.
Nobody is saying here the Saints can win the Super Bowl.
No, but every team wants to.
Sure.
Every team aspires to. You've got Bryce Young with the 2-15 Panthers saying like, "What's your goal for next year? It's to win a Super Bowl." But we will be happy. We will be content. Things will be good and successful if we make the playoffs. We want to make the play. We want to be in that end of year.
Be in that number.
January. We want to be in that number and. At the end of the season, you know, we will be playing in the second half teams that will be making the playoffs, or at least more likely to, where in the first half, you're facing teams that would be making the conference championships, teams that will be making and winning the Super Bowl.
What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break, and we get in, we're going to be making some news, talking to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, get the latest from what he saw at practice today and also in the locker room, talking about roster cuts and also the practice squad now set for the black and gold. You can go check out all of Jeff's great work at WWL.com. We'll be right back with more after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Been talking a whole lot of Saints. We'll delve into some more black and gold, inside black and gold, whatever you would say, with my pot. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also WWL digital content producer. How's it going, Jeff? I know you spent the day out at Saints camp.
It's going. It's going. A little weird today with the late schedule.
For sure.
I don't think we've had many 5 p.m. Dennis Allen press conferences. But, you know, I'm catching up. It's nice to have the cutdown day behind us. It kind of feels like we can start gearing up toward regular season. Until we get past that point. It still kind of feels like a holding pattern, but I feel like we're moving, we're getting ready.
Was there a reason for the later start today? Was it just because of all the roster moves still ongoing after the initial 53?
I just think there was a lot to get handled with all the practice squad signings,
right.
and they probably just wanted to make sure they got it all sorted out before, in case, you know, because they wanted those practice squad guys out there, right? So I didn't really think that was it. It's an early schedule tomorrow. So I think you're going to be back toward the normal. They're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and then you're going to get into a normal game week schedule next week.
With the additions now of John Ridgeway in the trade, the defensive tackle, and also picking up on waivers, Kenny Wangwu, do they have to make now some corresponding moves to on their roster, or have they done that already? I wasn't sure.
Good job with Nwangwu. I've been trying to figure that one out all day. It's a tough one. Kane Nwangwu.
Yes.
But they made one corresponding move, and it was for Kane. They haven't officially announced the Ridgeway trade yet.
Okay.
And I think probably partially because they still have to figure out what that corresponding move is. But they did waive or terminate the contract of Kendall Vickers. He made the 53. They signed him to the practice squad. So that is one of them. They will have to make another one. They could do that either through a cut, or I think there's a possibility you revert. Maybe a guy like Jalen Ford would be a good option to consider for IR. Colin Saunders is hurt. He could be an IR candidate. Nick Saldivari sounds like they're hopeful to get him back before, you know, pretty early in the season. So, yeah, they're going to have to make at least one move. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's more signings, more moves to come. Especially at offensive line, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that.
You mentioned IR there, and holy cow, there was a sighting I've heard at practice today that running back Kendra Miller was in the house.
Yeah, he was there, not, you know, fully
right, not
working.
Doing anything,
he was off to
but
the
at least
side.
He was visible.
Yeah, we're in that point where we don't know exactly what they're doing in practice, right? We're into regular season mode, so we're only getting the 30-minute viewing window, and they're not really doing a ton during that period. But there were some notable returns today, right? You got Marshawn Lattimore back to practice. You got Rashid Shaheed back to practice. You got Kool-Aid McKinstry back. Dennis Allen said Marshawn would have been limited. They don't have to actually give practice participation updates like they will next week ahead of the regular season when the first injury report comes out. That'll be Wednesday. But if they had to today, he would have been termed as limited. So that's obviously a great sign to have him back. I don't think he's practiced since July 26th, so he missed a full month with that hip flexor issue. But that's a good sign that he's going to be ready to go for week one. And Rashid also said, I talked to him in the locker room today, he said that he's feeling 100%. The toe issue is behind him. So that's good, too, because he's missed a lot of time as well, and it's a new offense. So I do think there's a little bit of pressure to make sure he's up to speed on everything he needs to be doing with week one, the first game, less than 2 weeks away.
I know you sent some audio of Shahid from the locker room today. We're going to get into that when you get out of here. But anything that was a standout from what you heard from the wide receiver in the locker room today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's a confident guy. I did ask Dennis Allen, you know, whether his kind of further incorporation into the main offense, right, the actual scheme, it makes it a little difficult to overload him in the return game. He said they haven't really looked at that yet. I have to imagine it will. I have to imagine you're going to try to take some of that load off of him. And I think that's part of the reason you brought in Kenne in the first place, right? Because he's another all-pro return guy. So we'll have to kind of watch and see how that all plays out. But, you know, one thing that Rashid mentioned and you know, Derek's mentioned this, a lot of the offensive players have, they're kind of making a really kind of notable push to get everyone, you know, feeling connected, right? That's part of the reason you went out to Irvine in the first place, to get everyone kind of in a location, make sure, you know, there's more bonding that can occur than what we've seen in the past. You know, they always do these kind of group outings. Rashid said this year what the group outing was, go-karting. They did like outdoor go-karting. And apparently Derek Carr is unsurprisingly very good at that. Does seem like something he'd be good at. But they've also been doing like offensive team dinners, right? I think they had one last night at Derek Carr. I believe it was at Derek Carr's house, and everyone kind of got there. And it's just, I think there's just a good vibe in that offensive room right now. And that's a good sign. One other thing that I asked him about, and this is something I've said a few times, is that, you know, this Clint Kubiak offense, everyone wants to look at the 49ers and what the 49ers have been doing and their skill players and how they've worked their wide receiver room. To me, a much better example of what you can do on offense if you're the Saints with this particular group of wide receivers is go look at Miami and look what they've done with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And last year, Cedric Wilson was there. And this year, Cedric Wilson is with the Saints. And I asked Rashid today whether, you know, Cedric had kind of talked to them about, hey, this is what they did with these two guys in Miami. And he said, absolutely. That's something that he's brought up several times. And he's compared Rashid and Chris to Tyreek and Jalen. We asked, you know, which one are you? And Rashid says he's Tyreek, right? But I do think that that's a kind of a scheme and a system and a complementary group of wide receivers that you can look at and say the Saints' current group of wide receivers should be able to do a lot of the same things. And it's going to be on Derek to get them the ball in the same ways. And I just thought that was interesting because you do have that guy in Cedric who would understand what that looks like. So I was glad to hear that I'm not, you know, imagining that this is, they feel the same way. This group should be able to do a lot of the same things that they do it over in Miami.
Jeff, looking at also the other players that made it, we also saw that, you know, Khalil McKinstry was back at today. We mentioned Lattimore and Shahid, but Mason Tipton returned. I know you didn't get to see the full practice, but out there with him, did you see anything that could give you a timeline on his return? I've never been higher on him other than when we first heard about him, but hearing that he made a roster, I really, really, really want to see what he's got going on. And he's seeing back out there, I want to know when we'll see him on that field.
It's tough to say. I mean, he was back at practice late last week. He still didn't play in the preseason finale. I think it was probably a situation where if he was concerned about his roster spot, that he might have tried to push through it. I think that's probably what happened. And, you know, so we'll see. I don't think they're going to force anything with him. He's a UDFA going into his rookie season, right? So you're going to try to see what you have with him, and maybe he's a guy that you incorporate in the return game at some point. I would be surprised if he has a big role early in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he's inactive week one, as you kind of figure out, okay, you can only have 48 active players on game day. You might want to call up a guy or two based on availability with some of these injuries you're looking at. But no, I think that he's a guy that provides you really quality depth for Chris Olave, for Rashid Shahid. I think he can do similar things to those guys. And I think that's probably going to be what you look for in his rookie season is, okay, if you do have to go into games without Chris, without Rashid, he'll be able to fill in. So to me, what I want to see from him, and we're not going to see it in practice. We really don't see much. You see stretching, you see walkthrough. But what I want him to be able to do is to really kind of mimic what those guys are doing in practice and kind of work behind them, shadow them, so that if he does have to get into the action, he doesn't look lost out there. But we'll see. I think his athleticism is clear. You know, he's a dynamic guy, but I do think he's pretty close to full go. He talked in the locker room as well, and so we'll see.
Yeah, I just want you to expand more with Tipton, just because I can't recall a guy missing all three preseason games as an undrafted rookie and still making not the practice squad, the 53.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people want to compare it to Rashid, right? And it's really not that good of a comparison because Rashid got cut. Rashid had to work his way off the practice squad. He didn't participate in any of the preseason games. And, you know, I think that if they felt like they could have snuck him onto the practice squad, I think they probably would have. But I have a feeling that they felt like, hey, if we expose this guy to waivers, he probably gets claimed. And so we'll see how it goes. You know, they kept six wide receivers. It's going to be tough to have six wide receivers active on game day. I don't even think it would be prudent when you consider, you know, you got to have guys on special teams, right? And I don't think your wide receivers are the primary person you would look at to go down and make a tackle on special teams, right? If you need an extra returner, that's one thing. But you brought in Kane, and I think his skill set would make more sense there next to Rashid when you're returning kicks. So we'll see. Again, I think he's a guy that they're high on, clearly. Otherwise, you would have cut him. And said, hey, we didn't see enough. They clearly saw what they needed to see in the first couple of weeks of camp practice. So, you know, hopefully he's the guy that can make an impact this year.
Looking at your rundown on WWL.com of all the practice squad guys, was there any of the names that the Saints did add on there that were surprising to you? I really don't think that I think everybody that is on the practice squad currently was pretty much expected to be brought back in some shape or way.
Yeah, well, so I do need to get some clarity on the international spot because they did only sign 16 players. I wonder if maybe there's a delay. You have to apply for that exemption on the practice squad, and maybe it just hasn't come through yet because they should be able to sign one more player because Charlie Smith is in that IPP exempt spot. So we'll see. That was a surprise to me. I expected to see a 17th guy, and it might just be a timeline thing. We've never seen this happen with the Saints before, so I am admittedly unclear on exactly how the machinations of that all work. One of the guys I was surprised to see brought back, and not in a bad way, I just didn't expect it, was Mason Fairchild, the tight end. I thought, you know, if you go through the preseason, his game against the 49ers might have been the best tight end game in terms of a receiver that we saw. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, anytime you can bring back a developmental guy at a thin position, I'm okay with it. Michael Jacobson as well. I wasn't sure if maybe they were going to move on from him, but
yeah,
I'm glad to see
that was a little surprise to me, too, with Jacobson.
Well, I don't think it's a surprise. It was just a question of, hey, is this a guy that you feel like, you know, can continue to develop? He's a former basketball player. He was playing professionally in Ukraine like 3 years ago. So it's not exactly a scenario where you feel like you've seen everything you're going to see from him. Nico Lalos is a guy that is just always on the practice squad, so it makes sense that he's back on the practice squad. And the only one I was surprised to not see was Samson Nakua.
Yes.
I know he's got a few fans out there already. So we'll see. Maybe he's a guy that you can bring back as these things expand. We didn't see the Saints sign anyone to the practice squad who was not on their 90-man roster, which is interesting. A lot of times you'll see them kind of go outside their bubble. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's maybe something we see over the next few days is you shuffle a bit and maybe bring in some guys that you've been scouting, that you've been looking at. Like a Jack Ridgeway, or John Ridgeway, rather. I mix him up with Jack Heflin because they remind me of each other. You know, I think he's a guy that could end up on the practice squad, and you just wanted to get him in the building, and you were able to do that by swapping late-round picks. I think they sent their 2025 seventh-rounder to the Commanders in exchange for the Commanders' 2025 sixth-rounder, or vice versa, actually. The Saints got the seventh-rounder, and they sent out the sixth-rounder. So really wasn't much of an investment at all. But no, I think the practice squad kind of went how I expected it to.
Jeff, another thing that we've been talking about at length today is mainly, you know, something we were going to focus on throughout the day and probably throughout, you know, the rest of the month leading into September as well, probably the rest of September. But on the text line as well, we've been asked constantly about this O-line. You know, the Saints, you know, it's day two of this roster roulette, I call it, and we haven't seen any O-line changes. Do you think that's because they just haven't found, you know, someone to their liking? Do you think they're waiting to see if more people, you know, enter the market, so to speak? Is there something they're looking for specifically?
It's tough to say. I think right now they might be comfortable just going at it, looking at, hey, we have the numbers that we want split between the practice squad and the active roster. They were able to get Kyle Hergel onto the practice squad. They were able to get Shane Lemieux onto the practice squad. I think those are two guys that, you know, you probably look at one and say that you can elevate these guys. Again, you can revert some guys to IR and maybe free up a spot. But if there was what we don't know on the waiver wire is if they put claims in on anyone and just didn't get them. Like, we only know the claims that they went through. But, you know, if there were other teams that put claims on and that had a higher priority, I think the Panthers claimed like five players, right? So we'll see. I do expect them to make at least one addition, not on the starting line, more on the depth line. I don't know if you have backup at both guard spots that you necessarily want. I do think you feel like you have backups at left tackle and right tackle. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure who the backup center is, if I'm being honest, because I don't think it could be Shane Lemieux based on what we saw against the 49ers. And I don't think you want it to be Cesar Ruiz, because I think they're tired of that experiment of having to have him move over every time Eric McCoy misses a game. So I think that's probably what you're looking at, is they might try to find a versatile interior line depth guy. But we'll just have to see. It's really hard because everyone has different grades on different players. There's only so much tape available on certain guys. You're looking at preseason tape. You're looking back to college tape. John Ridgeway is a guy that I think they probably got a good look at in the Senior Bowl in 2022, and that's what kind of – when you
what
have
you
a
know,
strong scouting report on a guy, you feel good about it. And, yeah, the Senior Bowl is a familiar stomping ground for the Saints. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. Again, to answer your question, it's tough to say right now, but I do feel like you're going to see at least one more piece added in the offensive line.
Jeff, thanks for giving us a couple minutes today. You can check out our Saints Sideline Reporter's work on WWL.com. Get caught up with everything on the Black and Gold. Speaking of Black and Gold, talk to you tomorrow morning when we record our Inside Black and Gold podcast. See you later, man.
Yes, sir. Bright and early. See
you know it. Jeff Nowak, Saints Sideline Reporter and WWL Digital Content Producer. You can also follow him on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, @Jeff_Nowak. That's Nowak. We're going to take a break. When we get back, he talked to Rashid Shaheed in the locker room along with other Saints media. We'll hear from that right here on WWL Saints Radio after the break. Back here on Sports Talk in the 6 o'clock hour, we heard Dennis Allen talking about they haven't made any decisions at this point as to how much volume that Rashid Shaheed is going to get on kick returns versus the regular offense, or if he's going to be limited on either sense right now. Quote, that's something we're going to have to figure out. Well, the media got to talk to Rashid Shaheed in the locker room. Here's some clips of what he had to say to the guys in the locker room today after practice.
D.A. said that your speed obviously is still there, but it's kind of about how you fit with the offense. How do you think that you will fit in, and what assets can you bring?
Yeah, no, I feel completely comfortable with the offense, and I feel like they see that as well. I progressed a lot throughout this offseason. You know, I've learned, I've asked a lot of questions, and, you know, the progression has made me feel more comfortable, and it's going to allow me to go out there and play free and fast.
Despite missing some time during training camp?
Yeah, despite that, you know, I still feel good. I stay on top of it with my coaches, and, you know, just ready to go out there and put it all out there.
So you feel kind of caught up, even though you missed some time, you still feel kind of caught up?
Yeah, absolutely. Offense is complex, but, you know, if you stay on top of it, you'll be fine.
How do you envision your role in Flint's system whenever it gets going?
Right. I just imagine being a playmaker, you know. His offense is set up for a lot of our guys, and I feel like he has a good, you know, scheme. Each and every week, I feel like we're going to find new ways to get our playmakers the ball, and I plan on being a big part of that.
Yeah, Kinney, I guess, in return, just what do you think about having another you know, good returner on this.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm excited, man. They can't kick it away from either of us. You know, they gotta choose. I saw that he was all pro as well, a veteran in this league. I'm super excited, and I know Riz is excited too. You know, we're gonna make a lot of plays.
And you envision still wanting to return kicks even though they added him?
Absolutely. Any chance I get to, you know, test the football, I'm gonna take it.
How much you trumpeted the bid to really show what you could do in this offense while also getting the chance at this new kick return style?
Yeah, no, I'm super focused on, you know, myself and of course, what I could do for this team. I feel like I could bring a lot of, you know, explosive plays along as well as a lot of other guys. I'm just excited to get out there with this new scheme. It's super exciting, you know, to be out here with these guys again, and I'm excited.
I know you talked about how you're still on top of it mentally, but how quickly were you able to get your physical rhythm back with the offense and the team?
It felt really, really good today. You know, I feel like I didn't lose a step. Like I said, I kind of stayed on top of everything that I needed to throughout the rehab process. And, you know, so I would be able to come back and, you know, just be able to be fast and play free and, you know, be on the same page with our quarterbacks and everything.
Thank you.
I think the last time I talked to you, well, like, it was prior to the kickoff actually happening.
Yeah.
Is there anything you kind of noticed watching this? Because it seems like I expected there to be more returns, like longer returns.
Right, yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
It's kind of been just a bunch of 25 yard, like what?
Yeah, I've kind of seen the same thing. Kind of everybody's still getting used to it, you know what I mean? And in the preseason, not everybody's trying to use all their schemes and different looks. There's just tons of different ways and formats that you can use. So I feel like it's going to take some getting used to. And you know, I feel like with us, we got the best special teams coach in the league, so we're going to find a lot of ways to make some big plays.
Rashid Shaheed, Saints wide receiver / return specialist, and it's kind of interesting. You wonder, maybe with the addition of a guy like Nwanyu, is it going to limit him a little more, trying to save him just for the, you know, the offense-wise for the regular season instead of kind of using Shaheed more in the special teams capacity? Although I know how explosive he can be on those returns.
No, and you heard him say it, you know, you're kicking a ball to either one of us. Like it's like right. A dual threat. You like, you know, you can go left, you can go right. At the end of the day, you're going to have a returner that you know you can have faith in. You're not going to have somebody that you think, oh crap, they're kicking it to the left and my guy on the right needs to jump over 20 yards or they're kicking it to the guy who I don't think will bring it out past 15. You've got two very experienced, the stats prove it. These guys know how to return the ball. I'll say that we've talked about this off the air. I don't think the new guy, Kene, I don't think he does punt returns, so Shaheed will
He has not yet,
I say, like, Shaheed right. He might, but Shaheed is still your go-to guy for punt returns. And you heard Shaheed say it. We have the best, you know, special teams guy in the league. Like, you know, we'll figure out a way to maximize our output on this. And he's excited. He's confident. He's like, you give me the ball. I don't care how you give me the ball. I don't care if it's a deep throw. I don't care if it's a slant. I don't care if it's kick returns or punt returns. I'm going to do something with it.
I just worry about his health, obviously. Not a big guy, 6 foot, 180 pounds for Shaheed. So I just worry about the excessive usage on the offense and maybe the special teams being too taxing on that body. I just want him to last the entire season, obviously.
No, that's what I'm wondering. Like, at a certain point, if his production as wide receiver two is increasing, could we see the role of punt returner taken away from him? Not because he's not doing a good job, but because your value is you needed elsewhere kind of deal, you know? And it's like, would they value punt returns less? Would they value it more? Would they value how he's doing as a super deep threat for the wide receiver core less or more? It's like, you know, it's a scale and they're going to have to manage it. It sounds like he's like, dude, you could put as much weight on me as you want and I'll take it all. I want the ball as much as I can so I can show you what I can do with it. But at the end of the day, it's like sometimes you might need to sit on the sidelines, you know, get some water.
September 8th, folks, is when we get a better picture of obviously what this Saints squad truly looks like. That's when they kick off against the Carolina Panthers. Sunday, September 8th, week one against those Carolina Panthers. Going to take a break, and when we get back, wrap up the show right here on WWL Sports Talk. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we wind down the show. We know we got someone hanging on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Don't want to leave you there. So, L.A. Cody, what you got for us tonight, man?
Hey, what's up again, Steve? Oh, look, man, I was just telling you, boy, that I was listening to the Reddick with some of these other shows and, you know, some of these other sports announcers. And everybody keeps saying there's, like, this hate for Carr. Like, the fans don't like him. And what did he do so bad? Like, he ranked eighth I mean, in the top 10, I think they were eighth in offense. He only had 8 interceptions. I mean, isn't that something to be proud of? I mean, look, I know we didn't make it to the playoffs, but we were like one game from possibly being in the playoffs. And the offense didn't lose all the games. The defense caused, like, I just don't get it. And I was hoping Bobby would be there because everybody's going to be screaming, Rattler, Rattler, Rattler.
Oh, you know it.
And he even said, look, he's not ready for this. Like, you don't want to just throw him into the Wolves. So, like, what is your perspective? Why are the fans so against this guy?
No, that's a great point, L.A. Cody, because believe me, I've got the same question, too. I don't get it with this angst towards Derek Carr. They want the new shiny toy to be starting quarterback week one in Spencer Rattler. And for me, I don't know. Is it just because that Carr is a Dennis Allen guy that he brought in from the Raiders and both are looked at failures with the silver and black, so why do they belong on the black and gold? His personality isn't the most exciting. He's a family man that's very religious. Don't know if that's a turnoff to folks, but, you know, we saw the numbers last year. Like you mentioned, just 8 interceptions, closed out the regular season so strong. There was a stretch there then those final games. He was the best signal caller in the NFL, according to statistics, as the Cajun Cannon would say.
He was cooking.
So for me, yeah, I don't get it. You got Spencer Rattler starting the season. I understand he's the rookie that you're excited about, but we need him to develop still.
Yes.
He is not the ready for primetime player yet.
We're not going to throw him. He's not going to be what C.J. Stroud was last year. If you want him to be what C.J. Stroud was last year, or Patrick Mahomes has been, you need to develop him. And I don't. Carr, I understand everybody was like, all right, you're stepping into the system. You're stepping into the, you know, the post-Drew Brees era.
Nobody's Drew Brees.
Nobody's Drew Brees. We weren't asking. I think fans wanted Carr to be this, like, look, you were never, I think the sentiment was always, you were a good player on an okay team. Let's see what you can do on a great team. Let's see what you can do when you have the right pieces in place. And it's the sentiment is, I think, you're not going to get Brees from Carr. You might not get 70% of Brees from Carr. You'll get Carr from Carr. Carr is good. He is, you know, top 10 QB in the league, somewhere in that mix.
Maybe 15.
Give or take. He's in the mix to be in the conversation. He's not in the bottom 4, the bottom 8. No, his performance last year was decent. Wasn't great. I understand the sentiment about the defense lost us some games. Maybe not the Packers game. Maybe the Packers game. I think both sides lost the Packers game. But there were too many close calls, and I think the Saints looked at Carr and they looked at the team and they said, this shouldn't be a team that has close calls. This shouldn't be a team that has a roster
Carr did last year, too, was out without a running game.
And what we've seen in the preseason has been, I can't tell you how many times I've been watching games at home and I've been like, damn, Dad, like, This is what a running offense looks like. I don't remember the Brees era because we just passed a lot. But, like, if this is what a running offense looks like in conjunction with a passing offense, I understand the hype about Rattler. You get it. You want to feel it. I want to feel it. But you have to let him develop. You got to let him cook.
Let him cook.
You got to let both cook.
But just not quite yet.
Not quite yet. You don't want to jump the gun. We talked a lot about in the earlier part of the year about like confidence and everything like that. You don't want to jump the gun, make Rattler 2, make Haener 3. You know, you burned Haener. Or worse, you make Rattler year 2 and then Carr gets injured in week 3 or 4 and then Rattler's thrown into the mix and he drowns and you're like, okay, maybe you're not cut out for this. Ease them into this.
Want to let everyone know, tomorrow on Sports Talk with me and Mike Dettillier, it's game day for the Green Wave. We'll preview Tulane's season opener as they host Southeastern. Jerry Smith of NOLA.com will join us at 4:35. Plus, hear from Saints head coach Dennis Allen as he continues to shape the black and gold roster ahead of week one. And then it's back here on Sports Talk in the 6 o'clock hour. Sorry, we heard Dennis Allen talking about they haven't made any decisions at this point as to how much volume that Rashid Shaheed is going to get on kick returns versus the regular offense, or if he's going to be limited on either sense right now. Quote, that's something we're going to have to figure out. Well, the media got to talk to Rashid Shaheed in the locker room. Here's some clips of what he had to say to the guys in the locker room today after practice.
D.A. said that your speed obviously is still there, but it's kind of about how you fit with the offense. How do you think that you will fit in and what assets can you bring?
Yeah, no, I feel completely comfortable with the offense, and I feel like they see that as well. I progressed a lot throughout this offseason. I've learned, I've asked a lot of questions, and you know, the progression that has made me feel more comfortable, and it's going to allow me to go out there and play free and fast.
Despite missing some time during training camp?
Yeah, despite that, you know, I still feel good. I stay on top of it with my coaches and, you know, just ready to go out there and put it all out there.
So you feel kind of caught up, even though you missed some time, you still feel kind of caught up on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Offense is complex, but you know, if you stay on top of it, you'll be fine.
How do you envision your role in Flint's system whenever it gets going?
Right. I just imagine being a playmaker. You know, his offense is set up for a lot of our guys, and I feel like he has a good, you know, scheme. Each and every week, I feel like we're going to find new ways to get our playmakers the ball, and I plan on being a big part of that.
Yeah. Kinney, I guess, in return, just what do you think about having another, you know, good returner on this?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm excited, man. They can't kick it away from either of us. You know, they gotta choose. I saw that he was all pro as well, a veteran in this league. I'm super excited, and I know Riz is excited, too. You know, we're going to make a lot of plays.
And you envision still wanting to return kicks even though they added him?
Absolutely. Any chance I get to, you know, test the football, I'm going to take it.
How much you trumpet at the bit to really show what you can do in this offense while also getting the chance at this new kick return style?
Yeah, no, I'm super focused on, you know, myself and of course, what I could do for this team. I feel like I could bring a lot of, you know, explosive plays along as well as a lot of other guys. I'm just excited to get out there with this new scheme. It's super exciting, you know, to be out here with these guys again, and I'm excited.
I know you talked about how you still on top of it mentally, but how quickly were you able to get your physical rhythm back with the offense and the team?
It felt really, really good today. You know, I feel like I didn't lose a step. Like I said, I kind of stayed on top of everything that I needed to throughout the rehab process. And, you know, so I would be able to come back and, you know, just be able to be fast and play free and, you know, be on the same page with our quarterbacks and everything.
Thank you.
I think the last time we talked to you, like, it was prior to the kickoff actually happening.
Yeah.
Is there anything you kind of noticed watching this? Because it seems like I expected there to be more returns, like longer returns.
Right, yeah.
I feel
yeah.
It's kind of been just a bunch of 25 yards. Like, what?
Yeah. I've kind of seen the same thing. Kind of everybody's still getting used to it. You know what I mean? And in the preseason, not everybody's trying to use all their schemes and different looks. There's just tons of different ways and formats that you can use. So I feel like it's going to take some getting used to. And, you know, I feel like with us, we got the best special teams coach in the league. So we're going to find a lot of ways to make some big plays.
Rashid Shaheed, Saints wide receiver / return specialist. And it's kind of interesting. You wonder, maybe with the addition of a guy like Nwanyu, is it going to limit him a little more, trying to save him just for the, you know, the offense-wise for the regular season instead of kind of using Shaheed more in the special teams capacity, although I know how explosive he can be on those returns.
No, and you heard him say it, you know, you're kicking the ball to either one of us. Like, it's like a dual threat. You, like, you know, you're going to go left, you're going to go right. At the end of the day, you're going to have a returner that you know you can have faith in. You're not going to have somebody that you think, oh, crap, they're kicking it to the left, and my guy on the right needs to jump over 20 yards, or they're kicking it to the guy who I don't think will bring it out past 15. You've got two very experienced, the stats prove these guys know how to return the ball. I'll say that we've talked about this off the air. I don't think the new guy, Kinney, I don't think he does punt returns, so Shaheed will
He has not yet,
I say, like, Shaheed will, he might, but Shaheed is still your go-to guy for punt returns. And you heard Shaheed say it. We have the best, you know, special teams guy in the league. Like, you know, we'll figure out a way to maximize our output on this. And he's excited. He's confident. He's like, you give me the ball, I don't care how you give me the ball. I don't care if it's a deep throw. I don't care if it's a slant. I don't care if it's kick returns or punt returns. I'm going to do something with it.
I just worry about his health, obviously. Not a big guy, 6 foot, 180 pounds for Shaheed. So I just don't worry about the excessive usage on the offense and maybe the special teams being too taxing on that body. I just want him to last the entire season, obviously.
No, that's what I'm wondering. Like, at a certain point, if his production as wide receiver two is increasing, could we see the role of punt returner taken away from him? Not because he's not doing a good job, but because your value is you needed elsewhere kind of deal, you know? And it's like, would they value punt returns less? Would they value it more? Would they value how he's doing as a super deep threat for the wide receiver core less or more? It's like, you know, it's a scale, and they're going to have to manage it. It sounds like he's like, dude, you could put as much weight on me as you want, and I'll take it all. I want the ball as much as I can so I can show you what I can do with it. But at the end of the day, it's like sometimes you might need to sit on the sidelines, you know, get some water.
September 8th, folks, is when we get a better picture of obviously what this Saints squad truly looks like. That's when they kick off against the Carolina Panthers. Sunday, September 8th, week one against those Carolina Panthers. Going to take a break, and when we get back, wrap up the show right here on WWL Sports Talk. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we wind down the show. We know we got someone hanging on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Don't want to leave you there. So, L.A. Cody, what you got for us tonight, man?
Hey, what's up again, Steve? Oh, look, man, I was just telling you, boy, that I was listening to the Reddick with some of these other shows and, you know, some of these other sports announcers. And everybody keeps saying there's, like, this hate for Carr. Like, the fans don't like him. And what did he do so bad? Like, he ranked eighth. I mean, in the top 10, I think they were eighth in offense. He only had 8 interceptions. I mean, isn't that something to be proud of? I mean, look, I know we didn't make it to the playoffs, but we were like one game from possibly being in the playoffs. And the offense didn't lose all the games. The defense caused, like, I just don't get it. And I was hoping Bobby would be there because everybody's going to be screaming, Rattler, Rattler, Rattler.
Oh, you know it.
And he even said, look, he's not ready for this. Like, you don't want to just throw him into the wolves. So, like, what is your perspective? Why are the fans so against this guy?
No, that's a great point, L.A. Cody, because believe me, I've got the same question, too. I don't get it with this angst towards Derek Carr. They want the new shiny toy to be starting quarterback week one in Spencer Rattler. And for me, I don't know. Is it just because that Carr is a Dennis Allen guy that he brought in from the Raiders and both are looked at failures with the silver and black, so why do they belong on the black and gold? His personality isn't the most exciting. He's a family man that's very religious. Don't know if that's a turnoff to folks, but, you know, we saw the numbers last year. Like you mentioned, just 8 interceptions, closed out the regular season so strong. There was a stretch there down those final games. He was the best signal caller in the NFL, according to statistics, as the Cajun Cannon would say.
He was cooking.
So for me, yeah, I don't get it. You got Spencer Rattler starting the season. I understand he's the rookie that you're excited about, but we need him to develop still.
Yes.
He is not the ready for primetime player yet.
We're not going to throw him. He's not going to be what C.J. Stroud was last year. If you want him to be what C.J. Stroud was last year, or Patrick Mahomes has been, you need to develop him. And I don't. Carr, I understand everybody was like, all right, you're stepping into the system. You're stepping into the, you know, the post-Drew Brees era.
Nobody's Drew Brees.
Nobody's Drew Brees. We weren't asking. I think fans wanted Carr to be this, like, look, you were never. I think the sentiment was always, you were a good player on an okay team. Let's see what you can do on a great team. Let's see what you can do when you have the right pieces in place. And it's the sentiment is, I think you're not going to get Brees from Carr. You might not get 70% of Brees from Carr. You'll get Carr from Carr. Carr is good. He is, you know, top 10 QB in the league, somewhere in that mix.
Maybe 15.
Give or take. He's in the mix to be in the conversation. He's not in the bottom 4, the bottom 8. No, his performance last year was decent. Wasn't great. I understand the sentiment about the defense lost us some games. Maybe not the Packers game. Maybe the Packers game. I think both sides lost the Packers game. But there were too many close calls, and I think the Saints looked at Carr and they looked at the team and they said, this shouldn't be a team that has close calls. This shouldn't be a team that has a roster
What Carr did last year, too, was out without a running game.
And what we've seen in the preseason has been, I can't tell you how many times I've been watching games at home and I've been like, damn, Dad, like, This is what a running offense looks like. I don't remember the Brees era because we just passed a lot. But, like, if this is what a running offense looks like in conjunction with a passing offense, I understand the hype about Rattler. You get it. You want to feel it. I want to feel it. But you have to let him develop. You got to let him cook.
Let him cook.
You got to let both cook.
But just not quite yet.
Not quite yet. You don't want to jump the gun. We talked a lot about in the earlier part of the year about, like, confidence and everything like that. You don't want to jump the gun, make Rattler 2, make Haener 3. You know, you burned Haener. Or worse, you make Rattler year 2 and then Carr gets injured in week 3 or 4 and then Rattler's thrown into the mix and he drowns and you're like, okay, maybe you're not cut out for this. Like, ease them into this.
Want to let everyone know, tomorrow on Sports Talk with me and Mike Dettillier, it's game day for the Green Wave. We'll preview Tulane's season opener as they host Southeastern. Jerry Smith of NOLA.com will join us at 4:35. Plus, hear from Saints head coach Dennis Allen as he continues to shape the black and gold roster ahead of week 1. And then at 7 o'clock, Bam, Tiger fans. We got the first Brian Kelly show of the season talking LSU football on WWL and, of course, streaming for free on the Odyssey app. For me and Cullen Steele, wishing you a great evening and talk to you tomorrow, folks. Have a great night here from WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we wind down the show. We know we got someone hanging on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Don't want to leave you there. So, L.A. Cody, what you got for us tonight, man?
Hey, what's up again, Steve? Oh, look, man, I was just telling you, boy, that I was listening to the Reddick with some of these other shows and, you know, some of these other sports announcers. And everybody keeps saying there's, like, this hate for Carr. Like, the fans don't like him. And what did he do so bad? Like, he ranked eighth. I mean, in the top 10, I think they were eighth in offense. He only had 8 interceptions. I mean, isn't that something to be proud of? I mean, look, I know we didn't make it to the playoffs, but we were like one game from possibly being in the playoffs. And the offense didn't lose all the games. The defense caused, like, I just don't get it. And I was hoping Bobby would be there because everybody's going to be screaming, Rattler, Rattler, Rattler.
Oh, you know it.
And he even said, look, he's not ready for this. Like, you don't want to just throw him into the wolves. So, like, what is your perspective? Why are the fans so against this guy?
No, that's a great point, L.A. Cody, because believe me, I've got the same question, too. I don't get it with this angst towards Derek Carr. They want the new shiny toy to be starting quarterback week one in Spencer Rattler. And for me, I don't know if is it just because that Carr is a Dennis Allen guy that he brought in from the Raiders and both are looked at failures with the silver and black. So why do they belong on the black and gold? His personality isn't the most exciting. He's a family man that's very religious. Don't know if that's a turnoff to folks, but, you know, we saw the numbers last year. Like you mentioned, just 8 interceptions, closed out the regular season so strong. There was a stretch there down those final games. He was the best signal caller in the NFL, according to statistics, as the Cajun Cannon would say.
He was cooking.
So for me, yeah, I don't get it. You got Spencer Rattler starting the season. I understand he's the rookie that you're excited about, but we need him to develop still.
Yes.
He is not the ready for primetime player yet.
We're not going to throw him. He's not going to be what C.J. Stroud was last year. If you want him to be what C.J. Stroud was last year, or Patrick Mahomes has been, you need to develop him. And I don't. Carr, I understand everybody was like, all right, you're stepping into the system. You're stepping into the, you know, the post-Drew Brees era.
Nobody's Drew Brees.
Nobody's Drew Brees. We weren't asking. I think fans wanted Carr to be this, like, look, you were never. I think the sentiment was always, you were a good player on an okay team. Let's see what you can do on a great team. Let's see what you can do when you have the right pieces in place. And it's the sentiment is, I think you're not going to get Breeze from Carr. You might not get 70% of Breeze from Carr. You'll get Carr from Carr. Carr is good. He is, you know, top 10 QB in the league, somewhere in that mix.
Maybe 15.
Give or take. He's in the mix to be in the conversation. He's not in the bottom 4, the bottom 8. No, his performance last year was decent. Wasn't great. I understand the sentiment about the defense lost us some games. Maybe not the Packers game. Maybe the Packers game. I think both sides lost the Packers game. But there were too many close calls, and I think the Saints looked at Carr and they looked at the team and they said, this shouldn't be a team that has close calls. This shouldn't be a team that has a roster
Carr did last year, too, was out without a running game.
And what we've seen in the preseason has been, I can't tell you how many times I've been watching games at home and I've been like, damn, Dad, like, This is what a running offense looks like. I don't remember the Breeze era because we just passed a lot. But, like, if this is what a running offense looks like in conjunction with a passing offense, I understand the hype about Rattler. You get it. You want to feel it. I want to feel it. But you have to let him develop. You got to let him cook.
Let him cook.
Got to let both cook.
But just not quite yet.
Not quite yet. You don't want to jump the gun. We talked a lot about in the earlier part of the year about, like, confidence and everything like that. You don't want to jump the gun, make Rattler 2, make Haener 3. You burned Haener. Or worse, you make Rattler year 2 and then Carr gets injured in week 3 or 4 and then Rattler's thrown into the mix and he drowns and you're like, okay, maybe you're not cut out for this. Like, ease them into this.
Want to let everyone know, tomorrow on Sports Talk with me and Mike Dettillier, it's game day for the Green Wave. We'll preview Tulane's season opener as they host Southeastern. Jerry Smith of NOLA.com will join us at 4:35. Plus, hear from Saints head coach Dennis Allen as he continues to shape the black and gold roster ahead of week 1. And then at 7 o'clock, Bam, Tiger fans. We got the first Brian Kelly show of the season talking LSU football on WWL and, of course, streaming for free on the Odyssey app. For me and Cullen Steele, wishing you a great evening and talk to you tomorrow, folks. Have a great night here from WWL.